are very trivial prayers, like, please help England win the Rugby World Cup this year. And they go out in the first round, you know, something like that. But then there's other really serious prayers, right, where we're praying about really difficult situations, painful situations, and sometimes we seem to, you know, get a kind of a response, and often we don't. So we're trying to sort of wrestle with that, be honest about it and real about it, okay? So if that's been a struggle or that is an issue for you, come along to the workshop next week, okay? Information in the material. We'll also be next week running a spiritual discernment group as well. Again, information about that in the material. Then the week after that, we're going to be focusing on a workshop that deals with praying with kids, so for kids and with kids. So if you're a parent or you work with children or you're involved in children and young people, that might be a great one for you. Like, how do we pray for our kids, and how do we engage spiritually with our kids and help them grow in this interaction with God as well? And then there'll be another spiritual discernment group as well that week too. So there's always two groups, two workshops each week. So check those out in the material. And come along to the workshops, come along to a group that you're involved in, and let's sort of wrestle with this issue of prayer. And as always, we're going to do that in the spirit of honesty and openness, right? We're not going to try and fake anything. We're going to be real about our doubts. But we're also going to be pushing towards finding the truth, finding God in all of this, and letting that challenge us and change us and make us the people that God dreams of us being. Okay, we're going to, in a moment, welcome some new people into membership here at Cedar Ridge, and those people are making a commitment to us, right? They're saying, we want to be part of this community. They're making a commitment to God as well, obviously. But for most of those people who are going to come up, that commitment to God has been expressed already, but they're saying, we want to follow Jesus in this context of this church. So really, it's a very beautiful and vulnerable thing they're doing. They're going to come and say, we want to be part of you. We want to be part of this family. So there's a sort of reciprocal piece to this. It's like we're also going to make a commitment to them. We're going to say, hey, we're committed to you, just like we were talking about there with the dedications. It's not just about parents dedicating themselves to raising the children, but us as a community saying, yeah, we want to be supportive in that. Well, likewise, as people join our community, we're saying, we're committed to you. You're part of us. So this is a two-way commitment. So all of us are involved one way or another this morning in commitment. And in light of that, I just wanted to share a few things about commitment. And you may have got an email from me this week. Anybody received that email? I think I sent it out Wednesday, Thursday. I won't ask for a show of hands who read it. Because I'm suspicious that as soon as you see email from Matthew there, it goes into the... If it hasn't already gone into spam, it gets deleted pretty quickly. But I expressed a few things in there where I was trying to kind of challenge us together as a community, and myself included, because we're all in this together, about the issue of commitment. Because commitment, you know, commitment can be a dirty word, right? It can be a word that has a lot of connotations with guilt and pressure and overbearingness, if that's a word. And particularly when it's concerned with church or religion, you know, commitment can kind of be the sort of, you know, we talk about some very zealous people. Sometimes that can have a negative connotation. So let's just imagine for a moment that we're not talking about guilt, we're not talking about pressure, we're not talking about forcing anything, but we're actually being invited into something really beautiful, really special. And what I want to do is just reflect back just for a couple of minutes on the series that we've just finished, the series that we've just been in. We called it The Big Picture. We looked at kind of big issues to do with following Jesus. We talked about commitment to the gospel, what is the gospel, the good news of Jesus, what does it mean? What is this message that Jesus brings? What is this message that Jesus embodies? And we looked at the kingdom of God, this sort of central theme to the message of Jesus. And what does it mean to be in the kingdom of God? And we looked at what does it mean to be committed to the church at large, you know, being part of this bigger body of Christ, this bigger group of followers of Jesus around the world, in the whole world. Importantly, committed to a very practical local community like this one. You know, many of us here are committed to this particular part of the church. And we call this church, right? Cedar Ridge Community Church. And it's the most tangible part of our commitment in many respects, church-wise at least, anyway. So we've just been reflecting on those things. Now, I'm actually going to skip that first slide, James. I told you I'd have a few little tricks up my sleeve. So we're going to go straight to the slide where we looked at that first issue, and this is all we're really going to look at today, the issue of what is the good news? And I just want to kind of remind us of what we said. What is the gospel? Okay, because there's lots of different opinions about what the gospel is. And you know, as I said at the time, I'm not saying this is the definitive truth. It's just about as close as you can get to it. No. That was a joke. What we're saying is, look, this is what, as we read the scriptures, as we look at the history of the church, as we try to look at the big picture, this is our sense of what Jesus came for. This is our sense of what Jesus was about and what Jesus is inviting us into. And we talked about the fact that the good news is, it starts with this, that God loves us. God isn't, the news isn't like God is really angry and you better do something about it, right? That's not the gospel. The gospel is that it's good news. God loves us. God loves us completely. It doesn't matter who we are. God loves us. Every single person. There are no exceptions whatsoever to that. Second point is that God has great hope and belief in us. In other words, God doesn't just leave us in that state of being loved, but actually dreams of something even better for us, dreams of change, transformation, that we can be different. And not only that, God believes, God has that kind of dream and belief in the whole world, that God has great hope for everybody. It's not just for me, it's not just for us, but there's hope for the planet. So the future is positive. There's a positive future that we're looking to. It's not like it's all going to go up in flames in some kind of final judgment and consummation. No, rather, we're moving towards something called, which we like to refer to as reconciliation. In other words, God is reconciling all things. God is healing the world, healing humanity. That what Jesus came to do and is calling us to do is, to that final point, participate as a partner in this process of healing and reconciliation. So in other words, every time we see negative things going on, every time we see negativity in us, you know, where we're selfish and fearful and mean or we have sort of habits that seem to control us, or we do things that even we don't wish we did, every time we see that kind of reality, we don't give in to it. We don't just think, it's hopeless. No, we have hope that a different future is possible for us. Not only that, when we see that kind of thing in the world, when somebody treats us that way, or when we see some of the awful things that happen around the world, which, you know, we're all very aware of, we're not going to give up. We're not going to just resign ourselves to the fact, well, okay, you know, that's the way of the world, and the world's ultimately going to destroy itself, but, you know, we'll be kind of rescued from that in some kind of way. No, we engage, we participate, we bring light where we can, we do whatever we can to embody the kingdom of God, the way of Jesus, the dimension in which God's will is done, which, you know, we talked about when we looked at the issue of the kingdom of God. We embody that, we embrace that, we struggle for that. We struggle for love where there's hate. We struggle for light where there's darkness. We struggle for hope where there's despair. And we're engaged in this process of healing. So we're heading to a positive future, and that's what we're doing together. Now, what I think that presents for us is a challenge, okay, not fueled by guilt, like you better change or else, you better sort out the world's problems or else, but rather fueled by an invitation of love, an invitation that God is giving us to say, do you want this? Would you like to experience that yourself? And secondly, would you partner with me in bringing this to other people? And so that's why we have the vision that we have as a church. You know, we have a pretty long vision. It's vision statement. You know, it's a kind of very dreamlike vision statement where we talk about being a community of hope and transformation. That's how it begins, and it ends with a community that make the world a better place, right? That where it's not just about us; it's about the whole world. So there's an invitation to participate in that. That is kind of very unique to us. How we interpret that ourselves here in this community, and that's kind of important to remember whenever people come into membership in our church and say effectively to us, we want to be part of that. They're really saying yes to that vision. And so when they come up in a moment, they're going to be repeating or saying yes to certain statements that relate very closely to our vision. But there's a challenge for all of us in this. And this is what I was getting at in the in that email that I sent out. That I'd love us together, as we've come through this series, to really reflect on our own commitment, right? Again, not in a spirit of guilt or fear, but in a spirit of how can I respond to this invitation of good news, this positive invitation? And maybe we can put the next slide up there, James. I've sort of framed this around the three issues that we've been looking at, the church, the kingdom of God, sorry, the gospel, the kingdom of God, and the church. So as we think about the good news, that's what gospel means. The word gospel just means good news. Jesus said, hey, I've got good news for you. And we've looked at, well, what is that good news? Well, as we think about that, something I think we can consider is, how am I being challenged about my personal relationship with Jesus? In other words, my own spirituality. Okay, so, you know, we talk about a relationship with Jesus in a very intimate, loving kind of way. That might be not language that you feel comfortable using. Well, just think about your spirituality. In what way are you intimately, personally engaged spiritually? And what kind of transformation is going on? I mean, that's a great question for us to ask all the time. What's going on there? And what do I need to do to embrace more of God's love? I mean, am I consciously, intentionally doing things to make myself more open and more accessible to God's love, to this love that is apparently there from what Jesus is saying? Okay, so there's a very personal response aspect there. Okay, so that might be where you feel particularly challenged. Just bear that in mind. Okay, there's also commitment to the kingdom of God, the second thing. And when we think about that, we could think about, how am I being challenged to join in with the mission of Jesus? In other words, not just so much about what's going on in me, but how am I partnering with God in the reconciliation of all things? And we could ask ourselves that sort of secondary question, what action do I need to take to not only experience more of God's love, but to actually share more of God's love? You know, we could ask ourselves the question, I mean, what's my kind of runoff? You know, we think about that, you know, in ecological terms, the runoff from my life. Well, when people are around me, what are they experiencing? And what can I do about that? How can I be more focused and conscious in being positively engaged with people, just in everyday life, work, family, you know, social setting? But also, you know, are there some things that I have perhaps felt challenged about in the past, or ways that I really want to serve or connect with other people that perhaps have, you know, been lost or I've never really followed up on? What's my level of engagement in seeing myself as a partner with God in bringing love, bringing light, bringing hope to the world, all right? You know, another way of looking at that is, to what degree am I engaged in this spiritual life really for my own benefit? And there's nothing wrong with that, right? The good news is God loves us and there's all kinds of benefits for us. But part of it is also partnering with God and sharing that benefit with others. Okay, so how much of that needs to be emphasized in my spiritual response? And then finally, commitment to church. So, and we can think about this specifically in light of our church community here. You know, we all have resources, gifts, abilities, time. How might those be used and benefit the others in our church community, all right? And you know, we can think of that in terms of volunteering, in terms of giving financially, in terms of lots of different practical things, and a lot of the information that I just shared earlier about opportunities in our church, in our flyer, our information flyer on our website, the needs that we have in children's ministry, in serving in Guatemala, and you know, obviously not right now on the farm, but serving needs we have to keep things going here. As a church community, all of these things are important aspects of what it means to be a community. So it's a great time, I think, for us to reevaluate there. Sort of, okay, if I am going to be engaged in the gospel, engaged in the kingdom of God, that translates very practically and really into being part of a community of followers of Jesus, like this. And so what level of engagement do I need to be inspired and challenged to? All right, so there's some challenges there, and I just wanted us to take time to reflect on those. And you know, after the members have joined, we're going to have a short break, just 3 or 4 minutes, where we're going to welcome them. But we'll also have an opportunity to respond ourselves to that commitment. And it's a very simple thing. I think the papers are at the front, right, Sarah? So at these front stations here, there are some pieces of paper, blank pieces of paper and pens, and you might want to just write down your commitment, the level of, you know, the way in which you want to express that commitment. You know, don't write your name on it. That's very personal between you and God. I mean, I'm not going to review all those and follow up with you or anything like that. Please don't worry about that. But it's just a way of us kind of thinking about it and saying, okay, I feel this challenge particularly. And so, you know, just take a moment to reflect on it, write that down. You may want to just go away and reflect on that. Okay, that's good too. You know, these are big issues. I'd encourage you if you've received that email and haven't had a chance to read it yet, it's a fairly long email, but read it through. I guess what I'm asking us as a community together is to take this issue of the good news of Jesus, the gospel, the kingdom of God, and church seriously. These are big issues for us and big challenges for us. Okay, I'm going to mention one more thing, and that's to do with this last commitment, and I put this in the email too. We have financial needs here at the church, right? So, you know, we don't make a big deal about money here. We don't send the plate round or anything like that. But to run this place, it happens on the commitment of everybody here, people like you and me, making donations, right? And doing that in a sort of committed, disciplined, regular way to make the church function and run. Well, what we're going to do at our last board meeting, we made a decision to set a goal for the last 2 months of the year. Okay, so we begin November today. We've got 9 more Sundays till the end of the year, and we want to, from our just normal regular giving and also sort of year-end donations, because this is a time of year where people start thinking about making tax-deductible donations towards the end of the year. We've set a goal of $200,000. Okay, now that represents an increase, a significant increase in what we would normally bring in that window. Part of that is we have a bit of a shortfall to make up, but also we want to kind of get ahead of ourselves so that we can start doing some of the things that we're planning to do in terms of things in Guatemala, things on the farm, things in children's ministry and youth ministry and the different areas that we want to invest in. So we'll talk more about this over the next few weeks, but I want to, as part of commitment, call all of us to really reflect and think deeply about what can we do to contribute to that goal between now and the end of the year. And particularly if you were thinking about year-end donations to charitable causes, I'd really ask you to seriously pray about making Cedar Ridge the goal, the target of those donations. All right. Again, we don't put a lot of pressure on about money here, but we've got a good challenging goal there that our board has set for us. And we'll be talking over the next few weeks about ways we can all respond, and we'll, you know, keep everybody updated about how close we're getting to that goal. I totally believe we can make that goal. It's going to be a challenge. I totally believe we can do it, and I think we're going to find some have some amazing stories about how we accomplish it. Okay, enough of that. I want to invite now all the people who are going to become members this morning. I think we have a few people who couldn't make it this morning as well. But if you're ready to become a member, please come up to the front now. And as they come up, let's give them a round of applause. Okay, so Brandy and Jermaine, Amanda, and Robin. It's Robin. Coming up, Robin. Thanks, guys. There's a few other people that, due to illness, were not able to make it this morning, so they'll probably come up next time. So what we're going to do, we're just going to go down the line. Each person's just going to share a little bit about maybe how long you've been coming to Cedar Ridge and why you want to join today. Okay, so just a few words. Sure. Thanks, Jermaine.
Hi, good morning. So my name is Jermaine. This is my wife, Brandy. And how many years has it been? Okay, so it's been a strange, long 7 years. my wife and I started coming here and through the online, sort of like the podcast, I guess you'd say, the listening online to the sermons. And my wife had been habitually listening, and she sort of like dragged me into it, and so I would start listening. And I remember one of the first things that drew me was I really loved how Matthew's voice sounded.
That's pretty shallow. That's pretty shallow. I really like your voice.
Oh, thank you. At the time, we were going to my parents' church, and I was a musician, and my wife had just moved up. We were dating at the time, and it was a very traditional church, and my whole upbringing was pretty traditional. And so when we first started hearing about the church here and hearing some of the message and some of what they were about, we said, you know, we should go check this out. This sounds kind of unusual. This is a little bit different. So we came, and early on, we went through the journey, which sort of the orientation for the church.